You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. Boy, am I excited today to have the opportunity to speak to Suzette Ellington. Well, who is Suzette Ellington? Well, Tar Heel Nation knows about running back all-purpose athlete Michael Carter, number 8 for UNC football. Suzette Ellington is Michael's mother. She's the one responsible for this amazing young man, scholar athlete, who is on the UNC campus bringing us lots and lots of joy. Thank you for joining me, Suzette.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, you have raised a family of amazing athletes. We're blessed to have Michael Carter, number 8 on the UNC football team with us. Tell us where it all started for you. Were you an athlete? Your any family members, husband, relatives? Where did these athletic this interest come from?
I think when I was younger, I ran track back home in Jamaica, and I played netball, which is a version of basketball. And then I was on a bowling team in high school in the States. Michael's dad played football in college.
Oh, so we do have the athletic genes going. So you mentioned Jamaica. So I know there we all get excited when we get to see the Jamaican athletes during the Olympics. Far too often we don't get a chance to pay attention to other countries and the athleticism that is happening there. So you said track and field?
Yes. In elementary school, we start really early there.
Mm-hmm. Any particular event?
100 meter. 100 meter was my thing.
100 meter. So that might explain. that quickness. That's great. So you also mentioned. Did you say what's the game?
Netball.
Yes, I've seen that played. That's a very, very popular sport globally. I think we need more promotion here in the United States with that. So what do you do outside of cheering on your sons and supporting your family? In fact, you can also talk a little bit about your other son who plays football.
I normally, personally, make ensure that I'm professionally developing myself as well as I love to travel. So it's like I just got back from, I traveled this summer to Austin. I just came back from Cleveland this weekend. I was in Orlando. So I've been just traveling. My goal is to hit all of the states, just to see what each state is about, as well as their culture and understanding the culture and the dynamics, demographics, and everything that it entails. So that's my purpose for traveling, and just enjoy myself.
Well, I can definitely do a double clap on that. I've enjoyed traveling too. In fact, this past July has been the most filled July in my life, doing a lot of self-care activities. Had the opportunity to go camping with my brother outside of San Francisco, and then spent some time in a spiritual retreat with Iyanla Van Zandt up at the Omega Retreat Center in New York. And then I had the opportunity to be with Richie Gersten, whose family started Brant Lake Camp, which is a sports camp up in the Adirondack Mountains area. And then I just did a trip to Alabama and Selma with Mike Wiley, Jennifer Evans, and Jackie Shelton Green, who is our North Carolina Poet Laureate. A very, very powerful trip, looking at the history of racial matters in our country, and particularly civil rights movement. So I definitely believe in travel. It's good to explore and learn about other cultures and ways of being. So when you pick a state, do you go to a particular city, or is it all random?
It's just random. It's random. So yeah, I don't have any particular city. If I know someone in that city, then it makes it better. But if not, I just random, just pick a random city and travel to, just to understand the culture.
Any favorites thus far?
I really enjoyed Cleveland this weekend. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a lot to take in. I actually visited one of the stops on the Underground Railroad.
Yes.
There, so it was called Stop Hope. So that was really a powerful moment for me, just understanding and even knowing that that was there.
Wonderful. Well, definitely Cleveland can use you for promo, because they always get the bad rap when people are talking about cities that aren't very good. But yes, Cleveland is a very, very nice city. So did you have any particular teachers or mentors that influenced your career?
My third grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade teachers really influenced me a lot. And they motivated me to want to be better and do better and be my best self. So they really played a big part in my educational and professional career and personal life. And then when I came to the States, my eighth grade math teacher was very influential as well. I didn't really realize I knew algebra that well, but I guess apparently I did very well to where she was giving me the assignments to take home to grade them for the other students. So that really was a big motivation and inspiration for me, that she saw way beyond what I could see at the time.
And that's always a special moment for young people when they have the opportunity to be close to the teacher and the teacher respects them and their learning and interest in school. So you mentioned that you were an athlete. Now, Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, says that we're always an athlete because we have a body. So I'll say you're still an athlete. Were you ever able to beat Michael in any sports?
Not really. We never really competed on that level. I was more supportive, making sure he got where he needed to go. So that became my role. All of my sons, just making sure they got where they were supposed to be going, making sure that educationally they're on top of their grades as well as their athletic abilities. So that became more of my focus.
Now, you tell me about your other son. What is he doing?
My youngest son, Joshua, is actually playing. This is his freshman year at University of South Alabama. He'll be playing linebacker. My oldest son, Dwayne, all three of them have a business called C3 Sports, and he's also still trying to pursue his professional football career. So
excellent.
I'm still being supportive of all of them and juggling my schedule around their schedule.
Well, that's pretty fantastic to have three sons as very, very good athletes to be able to play at the college level. So lastly, with this segment, what's Michael's favorite meal that you enjoy cooking?
Oh, whenever he's home, I make him oxtails, curry chicken and jerk chicken, and mac and cheese. He's got to have my mac and cheese when he's home.
I love it. You're keeping up that Jamaican tradition. That's good.
Absolutely.
I bet he's given quite a few cooks and friends the side eye if their food can't match mom's.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's take a break here. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman and Suzette Ellington, mother of Michael Carter, number 8 UNC football. You're back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. I'm chatting with Suzette Ellington, Michael Carter, number 8 for North Carolina football, his awesome mother who has raised him to be a tremendous athlete. Suzette, tell us more about being a UNC parent of a student athlete. How much do you know about football? Do you know the game?
Yeah, to be based on my kids' position, that's really me focused the most. But I keep up with the stats on ESPN and just learning the language of the analysts. And so it helps me have that conversation post-game with all of them.
So you didn't follow American football in Jamaica, or did you?
I followed soccer. I'm really a soccer fan.
Okay.
So they started playing football, realized, oh.
And you certainly understand when he's on offense and when he's playing special teams?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit more about your personality. Are you a smack talker, or do you stay pretty calm during Michael's games?
I sometimes talk smack, but I'm really calm. So I'm always just wanting to make sure he's okay after the game, during the game and after the game.
So do you communicate with him right before the game or pretty much before the game you leave him alone? Are you, does he like to hear from mom?
We usually communicate real quick. If I'm away from his game, or we'll pray, mm-hmm. or he'll just FaceTime me just to, so I can wish him well for his game. And then after the game, I'll wait for him outside the locker room. We'll go to dinner. He'll bring me his laundry to my hotel so I can do it for him. And then we'll do breakfast Sunday morning, and I'll fly back home.
That's wonderful. It's nothing like having the mom to be there to do those things to remind him that he's not a man now. He's just a little boy, and you're going to take care of those needs. And that's what they, you know, young people need that comfort in college. And oftentimes it ends up being maybe a fraternity brother or sister or a close friend that's a little older, or it can be a faculty member, where we have to be careful with that. But we do know there are young people who still need that that extra hug or that handshake or that pat on the back to show them support. And then, of course, they're definitely staff members. We can't say enough about what our student affairs office does for young people in our counseling and wellness type programs. So you travel from Florida. Michael was the Florida Offensive Player of the Year. He's a third year now. Can't believe how fast his career.
I know. Seems like yesterday I just dropped him off.
Yes, but he is now one of the vets, so to speak. And I know, having spoken to Coach Fedora, who actually recruited Michael here, but Michael from day one has always been known as a very, very strong leader. And that's difficult to juggle when your first year on the football team with so many men and so many other, you know, upperclassmen and leaders. But Michael stood out early. And then, of course, when you add his athleticism, his ability to be on the field. So when you come to town from Florida to visit him, do you have a routine when you come to town? Do you do a particular hotel, a favorite restaurants or campus spots that you like to visit?
Absolutely. We have a whole routine. I normally check into the Courtyard Marriott in Chapel Hill, and then I'll drive over to the game. After the game, like I said, we'll meet up. I'll meet him at his locker room, and I don't necessarily talk sports. I just tell him how good he's done, and he gets to tell me about his analysis of the game at dinner, along with his brother and dad, if they're all here together. So we have this whole discussion, or we just sit and watch other football players. A lot of times he doesn't get to watch other college football games. Mm. So if after his game, when we go to dinner, we'll watch the games that he wants to see, or just have a discussion about whatever it is. And then, like I said, we'll hang out till late, and then Sunday morning we'll go to different breakfast at another Broken Egg. And then I'll fly back home. And then he goes on to do what he does, and that's usually our weekend.
Well, these young people today, they have a reputation of being very, very close to their parents, to the extent that they're texting or FaceTiming maybe two or three times a day. Are you that type of mother?
I text them, all three of my sons, every morning to wish them a good day. And then he knows if he needs to call me, or he'll let me know if he needs to talk. He'll check in. If I sense that something is wrong, I'll utilize his chaplain. Mason is a phenomenal chaplain for the team, and he'll do a check-in for me just to make sure he's good if I feel that he needs additional support. But outside of that, yeah, he's good about letting me know how he's doing.
That's good. You have that close.
I'm a supportive mom. Even though I'm a counselor, it makes it easy. I just usually check and ask him how he's doing, and based on what he tells me, then we'll continue the conversation. And usually it's about really more encouraging and support.
Yes. So being that mother of a student athlete at a top university, can you tell us maybe one or two lessons for other parents that you've learned about being a parent of a popular and very successful athlete?
I think my number one thing is just allowing him to be independent and autonomous, and then letting him know I'm there to support him in whatever decision he made. Because coming to North Carolina was his decision, and I said, I wanted to know why he was choosing North Carolina, and I just wanted him to be confident about why he's making his decision. And either way, went wherever he chose of the multiple recruiting options that he had, I just said, let me know where I need to drop you off. And so that was my thing. I wanted him to choose, but he needed to know why he was going and what his goals are and how the school lined up with his goals in life. And would it satisfy, help him accomplish those goals and dreams. And so far it's been a great success. And he loves it.
Well, that's a wonderful attitude.
From it.
I'm sorry?
So that's been my takeaway from it. And I actually love the environment. I love Chapel Hill. At one point, I told him I was going to go to grad, the PhD program there. He told me to not so much.
So he's one of those where he wants mom nearby, but not really, really close by.
Not really, really close by, right.
No, that's a great attitude to have. And I think it's the quote that as parents, the purpose or the mission is to give them roots and to give them wings. And certainly, you know, by your actions and staying close to your son and taking the time, and it is a commitment.
Absolutely.
To fly in, to be with him during his big weekends, you know, with this football. And then also knowing that you have to step away and let him learn, let him have his pains, but being there to comfort him at the same time. So that's really good. Let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Suzette Ellington, mother of Michael Carter, number 8, UNC football. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. We're chatting with Suzette Ellington, mother of Michael Carter, number 8, on UNC football. Suzette, Michael is very driven academically and athletically. What do you think he will excel at after his football career is over?
I think he'll excel in business and whatever it is he chooses to do. But he is a great sports analyst. I love listening to him analyze NFL players and college football players, as well as baseball, because those are his two dominant sports. But I really enjoy listening to him analyze their and knowing the stats of any random player that he is inspired by, or not even just any of the players in the pros. He really keeps up on their stats. So I think he's a phenomenal analyst. But we'll see what happens. Whatever he chooses to do, I'll always support.
Well, it sounds like he's got both sides of the brain going, that artistic side. His interest in fashion, in clothing, and then on the other side, looking at the numbers and the analyzing. And I know we first connected during his recruiting visit, but also his interest in analytics. I have the Center of Sport Business and Analytics, and I have a Basketball Analytics Summit. And I always have a chuckle when I talk to football players because I ask them, do you know how to play basketball or do you know how to play football basketball? And they know what I'm talking about because they can be very, very rough. They foul a lot and they don't even realize it. They're just so used to using their body in so many different ways. But it's good to hear that he's keeping that business hat on. And I think those skills will certainly serve him well. So, Suzette, are there any pro athletes that you greatly respect and admire?
I've always loved Michael Jordan, and I think I'm a Giants fan also, so I really admire watching Saquon Barkley,
yes,
the New York Giants. Any of the professional athletes that I watch for their demeanor. Outside of their athleticism, I really just watch their demeanor because I know a lot of them don't think that they are role models, but really they are younger folks that are watching them and how they react to things and how they react to certain situations. So that's usually what I'm looking for, and that helps draw me to that particular player. I love Steph Curry as well. So again, just their demeanor and how they carry themselves as athletes on and off the court. That's usually what draws my attention to those particular athletes that I favor.
Well, that's a good characteristic to look for because they are so much more than being an athlete. There's so much more to them,
yeah,
and you know, their humanity, their ability to connect with young people and older people as well, what type of charitable activities they get involved with, and how do they lead, especially during a time period when we seemingly, well, I won't even say seemingly, when we have so much division being created and some of it just being reality and how they respond to that, that is so important. So,
absolutely.
Suzette, when it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching your grandchildren play sports, what do you want people to remember you for?
That I was generous to others. I loved mankind. And I was caring and passionate. And I accomplished everything I was passionate about and all the goals that I set for myself.
Well stated. Thanks again for spending time today, Suzette Ellington, mother of Michael Carter, UNC football number 8. Cheer on Michael this season, and you might see Suzette waving a pom-pom or hanging out on the streets of Chapel Hill, Franklin Street, or somewhere on campus. Thanks again, Suzette.
Thank you again for inviting me, and thank you for all your support.
You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.